And so I think that's the benefit. You spot problems sooner. You tackle challenges in a more direct, clear way. And you also recognize the humanity of the people around the table, which leads to greater connection and a greater feeling of, you know, of support. And we can win together. Yes. And you can't tell me that there's an environment where that wouldn't actually be a benefit.
This is the Organizational Health Advantage Podcast with Keith Hadley and James Felton, Principal Consultants at Table Group. They're in the business of coaching leaders to build strategic focus and cultural alignment that leads to amazing results. Welcome to the Org Health Advantage.
Hello, and welcome back to the Org Health Advantage Podcast.
Hello.
I'm your co-host, James Felton, and that was my good friend and colleague and co-host, Keith Hadley. Keith,
hello, James.
How are you?
Good, good.
Amazing, awesome. Hey, it's a Friday.
And, it is.
I'm glad it's a Friday. Okay. Yes. And
that was very vulnerable of you to say that.
That was, and we are hosting this podcast, which is entitled The Case for Vulnerability.
Mm.
And as you know, we feel vulnerability is the foundation of what makes high-performing teams high-performing.
Yeah.
And we would define this, we'll go back and forth here, Keith, but we would define this as like being unguarded and genuine.
Yep.
Right? Being able to admit a mistake, ask for help.
Right.
Admit you don't know something. And basically admitting that you're human, that we're not going to get everything right.
Yeah.
And that we have things in our lives that can affect us, whether it's something going poorly in our business, something going poorly with the team I lead and having some challenges there, or maybe even something off track or going poorly in our personal lives.
Right. Right. Yeah. It's just, it's the ability to say the thing that's true, to say the thing that you're thinking without the filter. Sometimes we'll even ask teams like, hey, when you self-filter, why are you self-filtering?
Yeah.
And James, one thing I've always used to understand vulnerability is something that happened just organically in a session I was in with a large global manufacturer, and I was with their global IT team, and it was an amazing team, but it was almost everybody's language was English as a second language. English was almost everybody's second language.
Right.
And so we got to this, you know, vulnerability-based trust. And I was like, okay, let me just pause and make sure everybody understands that concept. And so I just asked everyone in their own native tongue, what word would they use to translate vulnerability? And it was great because some of the people actually kind of got it wrong, you know, like, or I said, like trust, you know. And some people are like, oh, trust is like, I can trust James to do a good job because I know he's good at his job. I was like, no, that's not vulnerability-based trust.
Right.
You know, that's predictive trust or competency-based trust, which is different. Anyways, the guy from Poland said the word in Polish. And I said, so what does that mean? He said, well, in Polish, you'd use that word to describe like if a soldier goes out onto a battlefield and they have a shield, but they put the shield down, it's that word. And I was like, yes, that's the perfect word for vulnerability. Yes. You're making yourself vulnerable. It actually requires a lot of courage to put a shield down. Now, what's helpful about that is sometimes teams will understand it through this question of like, when you come to a meeting with the people in this room, do you feel like you need to bring a shield with you?
Yes.
And maybe we should say like, at times, we can't guarantee that every room is a safe place. There are conversations where you're probably, you know, well advised to bring your shield and be a little bit careful about what you say. But for an executive team to feel the need to bring their shields with them and to maintain a posture of competence or a posture of knowledge or a posture of confidence in an idea and not be willing or able to put that shield down, or to have something going on in their personal life and not be able to tell other people about it, like that will erode that team's high performance.
Yeah. And Keith, you said executive team, and because we work with them a lot, but that could be a mid-level team.
Mm-hmm.
That could be a sports team.
Yep.
But there's so many teams, and the idea, the one word there that is consistent, of course, is team.
Yeah.
And the idea that we want to have each other's backs.
Right.
And I would say it's really hard to do that if we're guarded and invulnerable.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I'm probably not going to have your back if you've got this wall up.
Right.
You know, it's going to be really hard, partly because I just don't know where you might need some help or some support. And I haven't really been invited into that space.
Right. Right.
You know?
So why aren't people vulnerable?
Well, they're probably afraid of looking incompetent.
Right.
Right. They are probably afraid that it will be used against them,
right,
in some way, form, or fashion, maybe in person or talked behind their backs.
Yeah. Or they might feel that it's beneath them. You kind of hit on you know, they might be afraid, or, you know, there's either fear or pride that could get in the way of being vulnerable. It's like, why would I tell, you know, why would I trust these people with this?
Yeah.
You know, like they haven't earned my trust yet. And so there's this, it can come from a place of arrogance where I genuinely feel that I'm better than others. And therefore I wouldn't be vulnerable because that would expose me as not being better than them. Or I think it comes from a place of genuine fear.
Well, I was going to add one more that's probably just so obvious we haven't said it yet. If you're on a team and your leader hasn't been vulnerable.
Yeah.
Or built that into the culture of this team, then you're not going to be vulnerable.
Right,
and that's
right.
And we would agree with that.
You know? Yeah. Yeah. And that while that might be rooted in fear, we might say, hey, that's a good fear to have. Like if the leader is creating a very unsafe place to be vulnerable, then you'd probably be advised to keep some of your thoughts to yourself.
Yeah.
And now absolutely. as much as we might advise that for an individual on a team that's unsafe, we would never advise a team to adopt that as a posture, because that's not how you're going to lead to breakthrough. Because let's go into the impact. The impact of not being vulnerable is that people aren't going to share their true opinions. They're not going to put their real thoughts on the table. And you've hired, you know, highly competent, highly trained, skilled individuals. They're sitting around a table. They need to make a decision, and people are going to be filtering their thoughts, their honest thoughts about the best way forward.
Well,
so, subpar decisions.
Keith, I would add there too, you said thoughts and opinions. Absolutely. But they'll also guard missteps,
mm-hmm.
mistakes,
yep.
Things that aren't going well in the business. And as Alan Mulally has said, and we've referenced it many times, if you don't have that vulnerability-based trust, then you as a leader and as an executive team are just trying to manage secrets.
Yeah.
Like you actually don't have a real good idea of what's actually going on in the business.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, where are we falling backwards? Where have we made missteps? You don't know because you don't have the trust in the room for people to actually tell you.
Yeah. Yeah. There is good data out there. There's a group called Human Synergistics, and they have a survey called the Organizational Culture Inventory. It's fantastic stuff. It's very technical. I studied it when I was in grad school, but there's a part of it that they actually studied hospitals, and they found that hospitals that had perfectionistic cultures where you had to be perfect actually had higher rates of mistakes because in a perfectionistic culture, people hid their mistakes. If you're going to get punished for a mistake that you make, when you do make a mistake, you're going to hide it. Therefore, they couldn't get to the root cause. They found that in safety organizations where they had those giant banners, 112 days accident free, you slice your finger, like you don't want to be the guy that ruins the streak. And so you hide it. So instead, what they talked about, which I love at Table Group, we build on these principles. They would talk about constructive cultures, make it safe for people to admit mistakes. Mm. And they find that mistakes, in fact, go down because they figure out the root cause. So there is good data behind how making it safe for people to be vulnerable leads to better results.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I love that. The other thought I had, Keith, was, an example of a leader who was going through some hard stuff.
Mm.
And you know this person, and because we worked with them together, he was going through a divorce.
Mm.
And you and I had breakfast with them before the offsite. And, you know, we checked in with him. How's he doing? What's going on in the business? Those things. Are we ready for the offsite? That type of thing. And we asked him, how are you doing in your personal life? Like, how's the divorce going? He's like, oh, it's fine. He's like, no, really. How's it going?
Yeah.
And he paused and he said, it's actually really hard. I'm actually kind of struggling with it. Like, I'm trying to like keep everything going. This business is kicking butt. So we're working hard. We're working long hours. And I've got this stuff going on in my personal life that I'm trying to also deal with. And it's starting to catch up with me. And we asked him, does your team know this? And he said, no, I wouldn't want to burden them with that. And it's like, we're not asking them to take on any of your pain. We're asking them to have your back and understand what's going on in your life, because you can't burn out at this moment. Like, you might need to ask for their help in dealing with some other things. You might need to let them know that you have to leave early today because you got to go pick up your kids. You know, all of that stuff. They know there's something back there. They just don't know the full details, and they'd be happy to help you.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, that's a good point, because we talk sometimes about the limits of vulnerability. Like, you know, he's not asking that team to be his therapist
or, exactly.
his counselor. He's not even asking them to be his exec coach. It's just like, it's context. Like, if you could be human, then people are going to give you, a leader I was with this week used this phrase, they're going to give you grace and space when you need it. And let's face it, we're all going to need grace and we're all going to need space on occasion. And so building a team, modeling that as a leader that, hey, when you've come to that moment where you need a little bit of grace, you need a little bit of space, we're here for you.
Yes. Yes. We have also seen an organization where they really don't lean into vulnerability, and everything has to be just right.
Mm-hmm.
And they go hard all the time. And so there actually is no cutoff point to the work.
Yep. Yep.
And what that creates is burnout.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because we're not actually being able to be humans. We actually have to be ready to work at a moment's notice all the time.
Right.
Like, not just during business hours.
Yeah.
And so that leads to burnout.
Yeah.
And we need to be able to say, like, hey, I got to go have some time for myself, or I got to do this, or, hey, I've got this family thing that I need to attend, or I want to go watch my son's baseball game, you know, those types of things.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
at the highest levels of the biggest organizations to the lowest levels of the smallest organizations, every one of those teams is going to benefit from just more honest, direct, unfiltered conversation.
Yes,
I was with the team this week. We made a list. I said, hey, I think you guys need to be more direct with each other. And now that could have been a little bit more of a fear of conflict than an inability to be vulnerable, but it shows up the same way. It's just like, we need to be more direct with each other. And then we made a list about, and then as topics would come up, they began to see the pattern that we're not as direct. We're not as unguarded. We're not as unfiltered as we need to be. And it just takes us a long time to get through issues. And so I think that's the benefit. You spot problems sooner. You tackle challenges in a more direct, clear way. And you also recognize the humanity of the people around the table, which leads to greater connection and a greater feeling of, you know, of support, and we can win together.
Yes.
And you can't tell me that there's an environment where that wouldn't actually be a benefit.
Yes. Yes. Dealing. I like to say this is like dealing with reality.
You know? Totally. Right.
Being vulnerable is just dealing with reality. And it could be in your personal life. It could be in business. And the reality there is, we bring all of that. All of that comes together.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like, we talk about business with our family, and we talk about family in our business sometimes. Yeah. And so yeah. that's what we're looking for, is that reality check.
Yeah. Yeah. In our team assessment, it says team members can comfortably discuss their personal lives. And we're often quick to point out, like, that doesn't mean you have to spend a ton of time talking about your personal life. It means yes. if there was something going on in your personal life, is that something that you can even share so that you can get a little bit of that grace?
Yes.
James, going a little bit on a pivot here, but so how do we build trust? Like, if we're making a good case for trust and people are like, hey, we need more vulnerability-based trust on our team, how do you build trust?
So we have a few exercises that gets there to start. One of them is, we call it a personal histories exercise, where you ask and answer the following sets of questions, which is, where did you grow up, and what did your parents do for a living? Do you have siblings? And if so, where in the birth order are you? And describe a unique challenge you faced growing up.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. And we feel like those are good sets of questions to ask, because we start to learn more about the person, about how they grew up and all of that. And we all grew up.
Yeah.
You know, so that's a similarity. And usually there's something awkward there or something challenging.
Yeah.
And so we can all resonate with that, you know?
Yeah. It's a common denominator, and none of us chose it. And what's interesting about that activity is, not only the activity itself builds some trust by humanizing each other, but you can very quickly get a read on how comfortable somebody is. And now we're not saying they have to share and bear their deepest, darkest childhood secrets. That's not it. But it's like, hey, is this a place where we can just take a bit of a practice swing at being a little bit more vulnerable, a little bit more open about something that, goes a long way back, and can we maybe even connect some dots of how that might show up at work today? And again, it's not about the analysis. It's about building a little bit of muscle memory around being open about hard things, because we're going to need that muscle to be open about hard things at work.
Yeah. Yeah. And I could just share, you know that we had some stuff going on in my personal life, and we had a hard time with one of my daughters, and we were going through kind of a little valley with her. And I remember after a pivotal weekend, I went and did an offsite, and our good friend Gordon was with me, and he was amazing and said, like, hey dude, let's walk around the building and let's just chat. Like, let me just hear what's going on. And, you know, and it was great. And then he threw me a curveball and he said, this is on your heart. It's on your mind. It's obvious. I don't blame you at all. And he said, so you're going to have to tell the team about what's going on. I was like, the team we're working with? Like, yes. And I said, no, they're not my team. They're my client. He goes, it doesn't matter, man. You've got this going on. At some point, you're going to drift off into thinking about your daughter, and people are going to wonder where you are. Like, you're in the room, but they're going to wonder where you actually are. And it was a moment where he really tested maybe even our friendship, you know? And so I went in there, and I really didn't want to do it, but I did. And once I did, it was like, such a relief. Here I was trying to hold on to this and guard it with everything I could. And then at that moment, I didn't have to.
Yeah.
And the response from this team, like, thankfully we had worked with them before, so I knew them. But the response from the team was amazing.
Yeah.
And it wasn't like, hey, tell me more about what's going on.
Yeah.
It was more like, just thank you for sharing that, and thank you for being here. And if there's anything we can do for you, let us know. And if you need to step out at any moment, just let us know.
Yeah.
Like, thank you.
Like, yeah.
Just that rallying around what was going on personally was awesome.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But I didn't have to overshare, and they didn't overask.
Yeah. But it freed you up mentally to actually then be your best and bring your best.
Yes.
And yeah, and you're right. Like, I know somebody would say like, oh, I would never do that. And it's like, well, don't misunderstand what James has said. He wasn't asking that team to be his counselor or therapist.
Exactly.
It's just context. And can we be human with each other?
Yeah. And sometimes in those exercises, people tear up.
Yep.
In that personal histories. And a lot of times, most of the time, they don't. And we're not looking for tears. And we're just looking for enough depth where we don't have many more questions, but we get the picture.
Yep.
You know?
I was with the team. This is a multi-billion-dollar company, a very sophisticated executive team. And they had already done that personal histories. And it was like, it was okay. This, I would not describe this team as being the most vulnerable. Yeah. We pivoted and we just said, hey, let's just keep it simple. Like, what's going on? Is there anything going on outside of work that might be affecting you inside of work?
Yeah.
And then, you know, where are you feeling most challenged at work today? And where are you most excited? And you know, this is a team, they're all probably in their like 50s range, maybe a couple in their late 40s, some in their late 50s. And it was about 8 people on the team. 7 of the 8 were going through challenges with aging parents.
Oh, wow.
And they got to the end of it and they just kind of sat back and they all looked around the table at each other and were just like, we've never talked about that.
Yeah.
And then they spent just a couple of minutes like comparing notes and like common threads and actually kind of offering a little bit of advice.
Yeah.
And then it was like a different spirit emerged in the room of just like, they all looked, they're like, man, we are all leading pretty complicated lives right now, aren't we? It's like, okay, can we give each other a little bit of grace on that? Then it was like, all right, let's dive back into the business issues. But the tone in the room had completely changed because they gave each other a little bit of permission to be human while running a big company.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it was great. It was beautiful.
And Keith, we are toggling between personal and business
right.
stories. And we believe like, hey, if you can do the personal stuff, the business stuff will come a whole lot easier.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know? And so that's why we ask about the personal stuff, because then like, hey, that miss and that, or that mistake I made, that's a lot of times easier to admit than the personal stuff.
Yep. Yep.
So,
and this doesn't mean that we give people a pass for poor performance. It doesn't nope. mean that we lower our standards. It just means that we've created a place where people can be themselves, where yes. people can talk about real issues. It facilitates the identification of problems, the solving of problems. That's why vulnerability is so critical.
Yeah.
And so that's the case for vulnerability.
I love it. And with that, thank you for joining the Org Health Advantage podcast. And we hope you share and follow our podcast and support us. Thanks for listening.
See you next time.
Thanks for listening to the Org Health Advantage. Your hosts, Keith and James, are helping leaders change the world of work and invite you to share this podcast with your friends and colleagues. For more resources on building stronger teams and organizational health, check out tablegroup.com.
Produced by Audavita Studios, connect your voice to the world.